Unity.com.
In our life that can threaten to take us out of the game as far as following Christ goes. And we have an enemy, an adversary, the evil one who wants to take us out of that game. Because if he can weaken us as workers in the kingdom, if he can limit the laborers, then he can hinder the harvest. So he wants to take us out of the game. And we looked at some different ways or some different things that could help us make sure we're staying in the game in the face of opposition or hard times. So if you happen to not be here with us for last week, I would encourage you to go back and take a listen to that. However, we want to take another step in this area this morning. And because the reality is, even though we've got to stay in the game, like we've got to do everything we can to stay in the game spiritually, we also don't want to just barely hang in there, right? We want to be moving forward with what God wants for us. And so this morning is going to take a little different angle at it and talking about keeping on track, right? Keep on track. So that's the idea of today's message. Now, as we do that, I want to, you know, it's pretty obvious that that phrase is kind of a train phrase, right? Keep on track. In case that isn't obvious, it's a train phrase. So some people are fascinated with trains. They love them. My father-in-law, Sherry's dad, is one of those people. He loves trains, everything about them. Trains and tractors, by the way, like those two things go hand in hand. But he loves trains, always has. He has been to, you know, the train museums and the train exhibits that come through. He's got the model railroad that he set up in this huge room in his house, and it's pretty cool, actually. It's really quite elaborate. And, you know, he watches train videos. And I'm not talking about the train videos of those really cool, super fast trains that they're building, modern ones nowadays, or even the real historic railroads. He'll just watch train videos of trains that, like, this is the train that runs from Oshkosh to Wausau. And I'm going, you see trains like that every day, don't you? He's a train guy. I'm not so much a train guy, right? But I love the analogy of the keep on track and the train idea, because I think it's a pretty good analogy. See, in a lot of ways, our spiritual life can be like a train, right? There's a destination that God has in store for us, and we'll make a number of stops along the way. But if our train isn't on the track, it's not going anywhere, right? If our train isn't on the track, it's not going anywhere. Trains aren't made for off-roading. They don't do well in that. They're made to run on the tracks, and so are we. Right? God wants us to be moving towards a destination, something that he has in mind for us. And if we just, if we're off the track, we'll never get there. If we just stay in place and never, like, fire up that engine, if we never actually start moving down the tracks, or even if we just, we're moving, but we're just not in any urgency, like, there's no big deal, we'll never get to the place that God wants us to be. I'm sure you've been in a situation where you got to a train crossing, and that train was, like, zipping by, but all of a sudden you heard the brake squeal, and it was slowing down and slowing down, and you're thinking, oh, please, just let the end of it go past where I'm waiting, but it gets, like, 20 feet away and comes to a stop. And it sits there, right, for, like, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, an eternity. And then it starts revving up again, but it starts moving backwards, right? And it goes, and they unhook a couple cars, and you're there for what seems like forever. It's agonizing when a train is moving that slow. And honestly, sometimes it can be like that for us in our spiritual life, right? God has a destination in mind for us, but, you know, we need to keep moving forward. We need to keep moving down those tracks to discover what he has in store for us. On the other hand, if we try to go, like, too fast, like run ahead of God, we try to go faster than we're intended to go, we'll get reckless, and then we're going to miss some things that he's going to have in mind for us to see along the way. There will be people that we will never connect with. There will be places that we'll never go. There will be things we never see because we're just flying by and not noticing what we're supposed to. And of course, if we're really going crazy, we're in danger of being derailed. And being derailed is probably the worst part about being off the track. It's one thing if a train wasn't on the track in the first place, but if you are running, flying recklessly down the track and your train somehow gets off the track, it's going to be a train wreck, right? It's going to be devastating and disastrous. Now, God can get us back on track even when that happens, which is, that's his mercy, that's his grace, that's a pretty amazing thing that God does anyway. He's like the emergency crane that comes out and lifts us up and puts us back on and gets us going again, which is so cool that we have a God who is like that. But that's not his desire, right? God doesn't want us standing still. He doesn't want us getting derailed. He wants us to keep moving down the track that he has laid out for us so we can reach the destination that he has in mind for us. So this morning, I want us to just consider, what is it going to take, or what do we need to do to keep ourselves moving forward? Right? What do we have to do to keep on track? And so this morning we're going to look at six things. And if you're intuitive, you go, hey, I've heard six things before here at Portico. This might not be all that new. Some of you have heard the things that we're going to talk about this morning once or twice. Some of you have heard it 18 times. We need reminders sometimes of what's supposed to be most important and what we need to focus on to keep ourselves moving forward. And these six things are things we've emphasized here because we believe that they are things that can help us move forward personally in our own spiritual journey, but also as a community. Okay? So this morning, we're going to go through them one more time, bullet-like fashion. So I'm not going to bore you to death with them. I know you've heard them before, but I want us to consider them again. And yet, here's the thing. I don't want us to just go, oh, yeah. Hey, that's my phone. silence your phones in church, by the way. Bob, why were you calling me? Just kidding. That's going to make it on the podcast. All right. So here's the thing. These six things, you may say this right off the bat. Oh, I know those. Yeah, I know those, too. But knowing them and living them out, two very different things. So we want to be challenged this morning with how are these things taking place in our life. So you've got the card. I should have brought an example up here, but you should have got the card this morning, the Keep on Track card. And this is going to be a little checkup, a little checklist. And I want to encourage you, don't blow this moment off, but when you write down the word, the one of the six areas, we're going to do a little personal evaluation. I'm just going to ask you to go, hey, on the scale of 0 to 5, I don't know why I picked those numbers or what are on there. But where are you at with it? 0 meaning, hey, nothing's really going on here. And on the high end would be like, this is going excellent in my life, honestly. And, you know, most of us, I'm sure, will find ourselves someplace in between. But please do that. And as we go through each one, give it some thought. Write it down. Circle it. Because we're going to do something with that in a few moments, okay? So, six areas that can help us keep on track. Bullet fashion. First of all, worship. We talk about this all the time. We need to gather for worship. Psalm 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now that word ascribe isn't one we use too often, but basically ascribe means to attribute something to him. Right? To give him what he's due, what he deserves. It's a strong, direct command for us to give God worship and give God glory. And so one of the main reasons we gather each week here on Sunday mornings is so that we can do just that, so we can give him worship. It's the worship that he's due. You know, he deserves it. And so we gather not because we feel like it, not because, you know, we don't have anything better to do, but we want to gather together to worship God because he deserves it. And so we're called to give him our worship and to worship his holy name. So we make it a priority to gather for worship each week because God deserves it. If we do that, not only does he get the worship that he's due, but it helps keep us on track. right? It helps keep us moving forward spiritually. So how are you doing in this area? When you talk about worship, you know, 0 to 5, where are you at with this? Put a number on it and circle that, okay? Second area, connection. And Hebrews 10:24-25 says this about connection. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now when you hear those words, don't neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, that can become one of those things that we use almost as a weapon or whatever to throw at people, like, hey, how come you're not going to, you know, you're not supposed to neglect meeting together. It says that in the scripture. And I know that can feel harsh and that can feel difficult, but let's face it also, the reality is that's what the writer's getting at, right? Let's not sugarcoat it. Like, we're supposed to gather together. That's part for worship that we just talked about, but the other part is for connection, because look at the things that are around this. He's not even really talking about worship here. He's talking about what we get out of that. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Encourage one another. So look, God designed us to be in this together. We all need to be stirred up to love others well, because it's not always easy. We all need to be spurred on to doing good works and good deeds, because it's not always easy. We need encouragement from others, because it's not always easy. And we need to be encouraging others as well. Okay, so for us, of course, connection goes beyond Sunday morning. We have men's groups for men that are starting up in a couple of weeks. We have women's groups for women. We have youth groups for youths. We have kids' church for kids. We have these groups that meet here at Portico for a reason, that we want them to be places where we can connect deeply with one another. We can grow in love for one another, where we can find encouragement, where we can find support and strength. And when we miss out on that, we miss out on some pretty fantastic opportunities to find that, which is something we all need. So, in the area of connection, I know we haven't had those going here at church, but maybe you have kind of your own opportunities for connecting with others on a deeper level spiritually. But in the area of connection, how has that been for you? Where are you at with it? You know, and again, put a number on that. How would you describe it? And write that down this morning. Third area is serving. Serving. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So God has given us these gifts. He wants us to use them. It's for the sake of each other, and it's for building up his body, the church. We need to use those gifts, or again, we're never going to become what God intends for us to become. We're never going to get to that destination he wants to take us. Now, oftentimes, one of the ways we grow best is by serving. When we put ourselves in a place where we have to trust God. When we put ourselves in a place where trusting him might allow him to do something through us that we never thought possible. And not only that, but then we have this opportunity to bless others. Right? So it's kind of this win-win. It blesses others, but we grow as well. God calls us to serve and to use the gifts he's given us to help build up the body. So, and that definitely keeps us on track. So, again, 0 to 5, where are you at with this one? With serving. Is there a place that you're serving? Are you finding that? Put a number on it. Write that down. Okay? The fourth one, give by generosity. Generosity. And by generosity, it's talking about financial giving. Giving financially. Here's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Now, it doesn't say giving in this verse, but the entire context, he's talking about giving. And he calls it an act of grace. Right? It's something that we do that is an act of grace. He's talking about generosity. as followers of Jesus, we're called to be excellent in giving, just like we're called to be excellent in other areas of our life. In fact, sometimes we're quick to kind of rationalize this one away. We're like, well, I don't have much money, or I don't give much money because I don't feel like I have a lot of money, but I give a lot of my time. And that sounds good and spiritual, like I'm making it up because I don't have this to give. But honestly, if we think about that, what does it really mean? It means I'm willing to give God everything in one area of my life, but not the other. We're willing to let him be Lord in one area of our life, but not the other. We tend to justify, especially in this area. And look, giving is hard. It can be a really hard thing, especially when we're not used to doing it. Because it's a very raw act of worship. It's taking something that we feel we've earned, we've worked hard for, we deserve, and that we need, or that gives us the opportunity to get something we want, and we just give it away for God's purposes, for what he wants to accomplish. But we relinquish our right to do with it what we want, and we give it over to him. I don't think there is an act of worship that's any more raw than that, right? Just, here, God, take it. I give it up. I give it up for you. I don't think it gets more gut level than that. But the cool thing is that God does bless us when we are faithful in this area. Now, we shouldn't be doing giving for the sake of getting a blessing, but God, when we honor him in this area, he blesses us. Ask anyone who's committed to giving faithfully, and they will tell you, I can't even begin to describe the times that God has done something amazing, and I know it's the result of faithfully giving this way. All right? We shouldn't do it for the blessing, but we get blessed as a result. It's a crazy thing that God does. So, and of course, he accomplishes his purpose in us and through his church in the process. So, generosity, that helps us keep on track. So, how are you doing in that area? Okay, put a number on it. And as you're doing these, we can think of the last few months. We haven't talked about these in a while, but we can think of the last few months as sort of a, you know, a starting point or a gauge for this. How are we doing in these areas? The fifth one, I had to think there. Fifth one, conversations. And specifically, this is about spiritual conversations. Okay. Remember, the gospel, we've heard the expression, look, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I get what that's saying, because we got to live lives that really show who Jesus is. We've got to demonstrate who he is and live with love and compassion. However, remember, the gospel is good news. It's a message, the message of Jesus that we need to share with other people, and other people need to hear in order to respond to it. But they'll never hear it if we can't engage in spiritual conversations with people, right? So we need to be doing that. Now, we have to do it carefully. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Let your speech be gracious, meaning show favor towards other people. May it find favor with them. May it be a blessing to them. And may it be seasoned. Seasoning is a weird thing, isn't it? Too much and you can't stand it, too little and it tastes blah. Jesus should never be blah, right? He's Jesus. He's amazing, right? So what we have to say about him should never be blah. But it also, we have to be careful that it's not too spicy, if you know what I mean. That we're not coming on too strong. That we're not using Jesus or God's word to like blast people or shame them, Facebook style, right? Seriously, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to engage in spiritual conversations. And we're supposed to, with grace, with graciousness and seasoning, we share these things. Scripture says talking about the truth but doing it in love. It also says when we talk to people, we're supposed to do it with gentleness and respect. All right, so how are we doing in this area? Are you engaging others in spiritual conversations? Now, again, I'm not saying that you put a good score here because people are open to it or people are responsive to it. You may be, but if you're trying, if you're taking that step, that faith step to engage in a spiritual conversation with people, then write that down, right? How are you doing? 0 to 5. Put a number on that. And the last area is invitations. Invitations. Okay? Now, this is simply about extending invitations to others. And specifically, there are two types of things we're thinking of here. We extend invitations to join us here in worship or at a community building event. It's a place where these things are things that, like an outreach event, where we have an opportunity to have people we know and love experience the God that we know and love, right? We invite them to participate in what we're doing so that they can come to know Jesus. It still can be an effective way to have people hear about Jesus. Here's an invitation moment in Scripture that Jesus himself used. I thought this was kind of cool. It just says in John 7, 37 to 38, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So try and picture that. Like, Jesus just stands up and he's like, "Hey, if you're thirsty, I got the drink. Come on, follow me." Right? He just invites people, "Come and follow me." Now, I'm not sure that'd be the greatest tactic in the world for us. And I'm not sure, and I know for sure, we're not supposed to invite people to follow us. But we can invite them to join us as we seek him and give them an opportunity to discover him for themselves. So, in this area of invitations, 0 to 5, how are you doing in this area? Right? Let's put a number on that. So here's the 6 areas. We gather for worship, connection, serving, generosity, conversations, and invitations. These are the 6 things that can help keep us on track. They help keep us on track personally, things we're supposed to be shooting for, but also as a church, that collectively as we engage in these areas, we will continue to see to move towards that destination, move down the track towards what God has for us. Now, the reason that I've asked you to write things down this morning as you've gone through this is because I'm going to invite you all here in a moment to come up and to simply take tiles that correspond to each one of these areas. You notice they're color-coded right on your sheet there, but the brown, which is a brown bowl, it has brown and clear tiles, corresponds to worship, the blue to connection, the red to serving, the green to giving or generosity, the purple, which, by the way, don't get confused, it's in a tan bowl because I don't have a purple bowl, but purple tiles, those are about conversations, and yellow is invitations. So you've written them down, you've marked them down, you've identified this is how I'm doing in this area. In the next few moments, I want to ask you to come up and to take tiles from each of those areas that correspond to what you wrote down and to drop them in the jar. Now, first of all, this is not a trying to make you feel bad moment, right? Like, oh, I don't have many tiles I'm putting in. That's not our goal. See, our goal is to celebrate the faith steps that we have taken. And we'll pray about that other part in a moment, but right now we want to celebrate the faith steps that we have taken. So if you've been faithful to whatever degree in each one of these areas, way to go, way to go. And so we're going to come up, we're going to put the tiles in the jar, and then when we're finished with that, eventually these tiles will be added to our mosaic that we are building. And I think most of you here this morning know kind of what that's all about. So I'm going to give us just a couple of minutes. Rob's going to play some music in the background, invite you to come up. Just make it really easy. Go right with your card and the color. Take the tiles and stick them in the jar, okay? We'll take a couple minutes as we do that as a way of saying, this is how I've been faithful in these areas in my life. Invite you to come. So as you've come and placed these here, it's saying, look, this is ways that I've been faithfully trying to pursue God and what he has called us to as a church, things that are important to us as a church, things that are important to us personally. And I know whenever I do something like this, put a number on something, you might put down a 1 or a 2, and you think I should be at like an 18 or a 20, somewhere over there, and I'm falling short, right? I'm not getting there. You know, I don't know each of these areas for you and what the challenges and what the struggles are, but God does. And this morning, as we kind of wrap things up, I want to just give you one more question to consider in these areas. And that's this question here. What next step is God calling you to take in one of these areas? Okay, now, you may not be able to answer that right here, right now, but maybe God brings something to mind for you. And you can write a word or a phrase in the tiny little space in the bottom of the card that just reminds you, here's the next step that maybe I need to take. So is it worship? Is it in the area of worship? Is it, as you look back, you say, that's an area where making that a priority is probably something I need to do. To gather on Sundays, to be in church. If you travel a lot, to be someplace in church when you go. Because God's deserving of that. Is it in the area of worship? Maybe it's in the area of connection. You know, we have connection groups. We have men's and women's groups that are coming up. They're starting in a little over a week. Women's group, they go first because, you know, they're brave. And the first week and the third week in October will be starting, and men's will be the second and the fourth. We're starting those up in just a few weeks. Maybe it's taking a step to give it a shot. Maybe it's taking a step to get back in the flow of things. And to give that a shot again, to see what God wants to do in your life. So connection, is it in serving? We have a lot of people who do a lot of different things here, I'll be honest with you, and this is usually pretty much a strength for us as a church, but maybe you're sitting here going, I don't have a place that I serve. I haven't found that place yet. You know, I'd love to talk with you at some point and help find a place where you can serve and use some of your gifts that God has given you for his purposes here and in our community. Giving. Maybe that's an area of challenge that God is speaking to you about. If you aren't giving, maybe you just need to start. You may not know what to give. Well, eventually, you know, just start giving something. And then begin to do it regularly. Begin to do it intentionally. Like, all right, a certain amount, begin to do it prayerfully. God, what do you want me to be giving? And just see what he says to you. If you have been giving generously, maybe it's, I feel like God's calling me to question, to ask, like, is there something more that he wants from me in this area? I don't know. So maybe it's in the area of giving for you. Maybe it's in conversations, that there's somebody that God put on your heart when we start talking about conversations, and you're going, I really need to have that conversation with them. So you begin to pray for them at this point. Or maybe it's in the area of invitations. You know, when you think about invitations, that can be difficult. But I do want to mention that I'm really excited about the series that we're heading into starting next week. It's called All Things New, and I mentioned it last week, but it's a series about heaven. We're looking at what the scriptures have to say about heaven and what we have to look forward to. We don't often really study that. We don't often think about that. But let's face it, you know, a lot of people have thoughts and questions about what heaven will be like. What is that all about? You may know someone who's in that boat, or you may know someone who, if you ask that question, do you think much about heaven? You know, what do you think about it? Would you be interested in coming to hear what scriptures have to say? We're going to be looking at that over the next, you can see the weeks on there. Invite someone to come. Invite someone to join you. And I know that can be hard because there are those times where you can't seem to, I don't know, somebody said no and it's hard to ask them again. But you just never know when God is working in their lives that now they're open in a way they weren't a year ago or a month ago or even a week ago. right? So extend invitations. So I want to just give you a minute. Is there one of these areas where God is saying, this is an area I need to do something in, a next step that I need to take? So I'm just going to give us a minute, and then we're going to close, and the worship team, you can come on up. Just give you a moment to think about that. And if there's something that comes to mind, write that down. If there's not right now, give it some thought this week and some prayer this week. I'm going to just close this in prayer, and then we're going to close with a song of worship. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the steps that each person has taken to pursue you, to keep on track, to keep moving forward in their faith. This morning, we're grateful for every one of these tiles, not just the tiles, but what it represents in our life. And yet, at the same time, we know that there are areas where you want to stretch us, you want us to grow. And we pray that you put on our hearts what we need to do as a next step in these areas. And God, as we continue in this time, we pray that we would be mindful of what this is really about. This isn't just a checklist or a to-do list, something we need to do as a church, something we need to do individually. It's something to help keep us on track. And ultimately, the pursuit, the destination is wherever you want to take us in this life, but our pursuit is you. We want to engage in pursuing you and your heart and what you want for us. That we would be that individually, that we would be that as a church. And so in this moment, we commit these things to you in prayer. And we turn our hearts to worship you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.